with power and glory, now and forever. Amen. Yours is the kingdom, the power and glory, now and forever. Amen. As we pray for heaven here today, your kingdom to reign always here on earth as in heaven. As we pray for heaven here today, your kingdom to reign always here on earth as in heaven. Here on earth as in heaven. Here on earth as in heaven. Once more, here on earth as in heaven.
Well, good morning. See, I'm always waiting for them to respond when I say that. In fact, I'm going to trust that if I say this, you'll respond at home. Ready? Good morning! Someone will have to tell me what they did or didn't. Good morning. So good to see you, be with you in this new era, this season of worship. Here's what I'm learning, and I'm crystal clear on this one. I cannot focus on Jesus and focus on fear. I cannot focus on Jesus and focus on all the distractions in the world. And so this morning, I'm going to ask you to make a choice with me. I'm going to ask you to focus on Jesus as we praise him for who he is and for what he's done.
This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. We praise you. This is what living looks like. This is what freedom feels like. This is what heaven sounds like. We praise you. Once more, say.
Am I feeling good?
Yeah.
Here we are, week whatever it is, in the never-ending season of the coronavirus. Now, just so you know, under regulations issued by the state of Florida, Executive Order 4231-2020, before we go any further in this worship event, we need to use this no-touch thermometer, this kind of using with TSA, to find out how you guys are doing. Hey, what are you doing, Patrick? 98.6 is normal, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. You're normal. Oh, good. Jake, you're not even back there, Jake. I don't know where you are, dude. I guess you're okay. But 84.
I'm not dead.
I was going to say, what, you're feeling all right? You're oh, you shot me in the eye.
Man, there is a laser.
It is. Okay, we all good here. Let's check you at home. Now, if you will, just kind of sit still for just a moment. The way this works, and it's really important, you have to sit still for this to actually operate. Okay. Yeah, most of you. Okay, no, you. You have to set out today. I'm sorry. You can't join us. No, not you. The one next to you. Yeah, you. Okay. All right. Now, with that being said, I think we're ready. Welcome once again to Celebration Worship streaming live. We are coming to you live this morning from beautiful Winter Springs, and this is Palm Sunday. It's Palm Sunday. Does it feel like a Palm Sunday? We ran over the palms on the way in, but just to kind of remind you what this is all about, take a look. How could you not take a look at the screen? We're going to look at the screens in the room and watch this video.
Hey, Tommy and Eddie, the Skid Guys here. Let's talk about Palm Sunday.
Oh, you know that was a block party. Like all of these palm branches and cloaks on the ground. Probably like a big bounce house over at the Eastern Gate. It was a Jesus parade! And the disciples were all throwing candy out at everybody. Hey, you think Skittles are kosher?
All right, I have no idea what kind of parties that you go to, but there were no biblical Skittles.
Oh. Yeah, that's probably true. Oh, I bet it was Swedish fish because Peter was a fisherman.
All right, there was a party, there was a parade, and Jesus rode in on a donkey, and that was called the triumphant entry.
Yeah, and the crowd went wild!
Jesus,
yeah. Let's not focus so much on the parade, but the after party.
Oh, that sounds exclusive.
Not so much.
Yeah, I can see it right now. Like Peter and Andrew with a little late night karaoke. Ebony and ivory, let's together in perfect.
All right, it wasn't so much a late night party as much as it was the next day in the middle of the afternoon in a Jewish temple.
Okay, oh yeah. little afternoon vibe. Yeah, I can feel that. Yeah, it'd be like a office karaoke.
No, can we stop with the karaoke? No, let's just stop with the karaoke. No, when Jesus saw what was going on, there was corruption in the temple, and he just started tossing furniture around. Hey, can we get the table? Yes. Not how I would have done that, but no objections. You see, when Jesus saw the corruption, he got a little ticked off.
Yeah, righteous ticked off indignation. God's okay with that.
Jesus even said, "You've turned my house of prayer into a den of thieves."
Oh, that is harsh, yet accurate. Mm. Yeah, it's like for the past 3 years, Jesus has been laying out this long feud.
And in the temple that day, he lit the match.
Boom, baby! The system of sacrifices, the countless rules, the brokenness of human race, all turned upside down.
But what Jesus was really doing in that moment was turning everything right side up.
Yeah. No more animal sacrifices. Jesus would be the ultimate sacrifice. Instead of these external rules, he would change us internally. He would take our brokenness and make wholeness.
And Jesus was just getting warmed up.
Yeah, the curtain is about to rise on the greatest event in all of history, and that is worth celebrating.
That is right. Who brought the karaoke machine?
None of your business.
He's alive.
Nope.
He's alive.
That's a spoiler alert.
That's for next Sunday. That is a spoiler alert.
And so it is Palm Sunday. And although it is a little bit unusual for a Palm Sunday, and it would be nice to be able to see you in person here, we're here today to celebrate. We're going to talk about the blessing of God, and we're getting ready for Easter. A little bit later, when we get to the end of what we're doing in celebration worship this morning, we're going to give you some details about Easter weekend, which is next weekend. But we just want you to know this and make note of this now. Next week, we are worshiping at 9 o'clock. And so join us at 9 o'clock next week for an Easter drive-in worship service. That means come, if you can, right here to this particular place, 817 East State Road 434 in Winter Springs. Drive your car in. You'll stay in your car, and we're going to do worship in the parking lot. If you can't join us, we will figure out a way to get it streaming to you as well. And so together, we're going to celebrate Easter next week. And so make a note. Join us. We look forward to seeing you then. Let's get ready and continue our celebration together.
Blessed be your name in a land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glory. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. blessing you pour out, I'll
turn back to praise.
When the darkness closes in, Lord,
still I will say,
blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your
the seed I've received I will sow.
Go ahead and take your Bibles, find them wherever you've got them handy, open up your apps, wherever they are. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 is where we go again. As today we wrap up a series that we've been in ever since before the virus started, and we've carried it all the way through now, where we're talking about embracing the, where we're talking about living blessed. The Bible study is entitled Embracing the Grind. We've been talking about taking a journey, and on that journey that God blesses us and we get the opportunity to live blessed. And so we've been using this one passage of Scripture, and out of it we've been kind of jumping off and discovering some things that remind us of what it means to travel through this life blessed. And by the way, that applies right now. As much as we don't like the circumstances of this day, and as much as we've had to alter our lives and kind of the ebb and flow of what we do every day is different, but doesn't mean that God's not blessing us. And so let's take a look. Beginning in verse 5, it says this: "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." It is our call to keep following no matter what, and learning to see God's blessing along the way. And so today we're going to talk about what is a subject that is maybe a little tougher than some, but one that right now relates and connects to you in a very powerful way on this Palm Sunday. And so let's pray for just a moment before we continue. Bow your heads and hearts, and let's pray together. God, you're a God that is with us no matter where we go. In those good times, in those not so good times, in those light places, and in those dark places. Lord, those moments when we're sailing through life and all seems as if it will never go wrong again. And then moments when we are quarantined and ordered to stay at home. And the walls seem to be closing in and we're over it. Lord, you're there in the midst of all of that. And the call that you place on our life is the call that is always there, is the call to be faithful. And so, Lord, this day I pray that these words, these verses, would once again come off the page, through the screen, land in our hearts, and somehow, some way, bring about a change within us where we see you a little bit more clearly, and we see ourselves and who you've called us to be. Help us to be that good listener this morning. Help us to hear you this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I bumped into a guy this week who said that there was a long line at 7:45 a.m. at the grocery store that he was trying to get to. And he knew that the store opened at 8 a.m. for senior citizens only. But he decided that he would get to the front of the line, and as he tried to cut in at the front of the line, an old lady beat him back into the parking lot with her cane. He got back up, and he tried to cut in once again, but this time an elderly gentleman punched him in the gut, dropped him to his knees, then kicked him and rolled him away. Undeterred, he got up the third time and began to make his way to the front of the line, holding up his hands and proclaiming loudly, "If you don't let me unlock the door, you'll never get in." To his credit, he kept coming back. And that has everything to do with what we're talking about today. The ability to hang on and keep coming back no matter what. Now, this series has been a series where we've been talking about the blessing of God. We've been talking about the blessing of God for weeks now, and this has been that series where we start talking about how to learn to live it out and reminding us of the things that we've learned along the way. Abraham is the one that was the first one, and you guys have already heard me say this, that God has promised to bless him, but the piece of that covenant that God has with Abraham that we often ignore is the last part of it where he simply tells Abraham, "And you will bless others." In other words, we are blessed to bless, and we have to learn to see our lives as lives that are blessed. Our vision has to change about the way we see ourselves. We have to remember that we're called to bless others, and we get the luxury of traveling through this life, no matter what life looks like, as someone who is blessed by God and has the freedom to experience all that God has for us as we live in that blessing. And so this morning, we kind of wrap that series up by giving you a few things to kind of hang on to and the encouragement to embrace the grind. Now you say, well, what are you talking about? Let me go back to 1983. In 1983, the Australian Ultra Marathon is taking place. Now that's a foot race of 544 grueling miles from Sydney, Australia to Melbourne, Australia. An odd competitor showed up that morning to participate. Everyone else there was highly trained, commercially sponsored, semi-professional athletes, to say the least. And then Cliff Young walked up. Cliff Young, 61 years old. He's a farmer. And unlike the others who were clad in running shoes and cool athletic gear, Cliff wore a loose-fitting white shirt that was draped over baggy overalls. He had rubber galoshes over his boots and a white baseball cap that had sunscreen flaps on either side. Race officials looked at him as he came up, and he came up to the registration table, and they thought that this was a practical joke. But Cliff assured them that he was there to participate and he was serious, and so his name went on the roster and a number was pinned to his faded overalls. Was this old dude really going to participate against these young athletes in this ultra marathon? Some thought it was a joke. Others thought he was crazy. Some even insulted Cliff as they got ready to start because they were accusing him of making a mockery of what they were getting ready to do. And when the starting gun went off, the runners took off, striding into the start of what was going to be a brutal race. It was going to last for days, except for Cliff, because he doesn't even run right. He had a very odd gait that he seemed to shuffle more than he ran. And so he was actually the last runner to leave the side of those that were at the starting line. People laughed, and the race began. 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes later, the laughter stopped. Because Cliff Young crossed the Melbourne finish line almost 10 hours ahead of the second-place competitor. As you can imagine, the astounded press surrounded him. Stunned excitement had them wondering, how did this aging farmer complete such a task? Two facts emerged in the aftermath. That Cliff was a farmer and a shepherd, but he was too poor to own a horse. So he would herd entire flocks of sheep, sometimes running day and night to keep up with and stay in front of and move the flock. So in other words, he was herding sheep, but he didn't have a horse. The second fact that emerged was simply this. No one told him that runners in ultramarathons stopped at night to rest for a few hours. So he had run the entire race without sleeping. Cliff Young had the primary attribute required to win any long-distance endurance race, and that was perseverance. Because for Cliff Young, there was no other option. He was going to keep going and going and going. And while his competition eased the grind with a little bit of rest, he pushed through exhaustion day after day toward the goal. His eyes were on the destination and nothing else. Cliff Young, winner of the ultramarathon. Perseverance is a word that is mentioned in that passage that we just read. And perseverance is a never give up attitude. It's a commitment to move forward no matter what you face. Perseverance is what it takes to turn an ordeal into an opportunity. It gives us the opportunity to outlast pain and sorrow, to rise above circumstances, to move past resistance, to accomplish those things that we were created by God to accomplish. Perseverance is the willingness to embrace the grind. The day in, day out stuff that you have to do to live the life that you are destined to live and become the best version of you. I've got a gnawing feeling, since you are watching this celebration worship live, that you are doing what everybody else is doing, trying to figure out how to make it through each day, what the new normal looks like right now in our nation, and trying to figure out what you're going to do today that is different than yesterday or that will get you through the day. I had an email this week from someone, and they simply said, it is tough to embrace the grind of this new schedule. Yeah. And so you might feel like that you are struggling through, trying to embrace the grind, and maybe you feel like you're not being very successful. And if you're not, let me tell you a couple things today that I think would help you as you kind of move forward. And there are some things that are kind of broken down. So let me break the passage apart this way. I want to talk to you first about the force of embracing the grind. The force of embracing the grind. Go back to verse 6 and let's look at that piece of it. It says this, and to knowledge add self-control, and to self-control add perseverance. Those who learn and make the decision to embrace the grind are a force to be reckoned with. That's what happened with Cliff as he ran the ultramarathon. Everybody thought it was a joke. What they didn't know is that he was the one person that was participating that was more willing than anyone else there to endure whatever it would take to run the race nonstop, which put him at the finish line 10 hours before anybody else. See, in a world where most people give in, give up, and give out, those who keep going on will accomplish things that others can only dream of. Byron Janis is a world pianist. He has played with the top orchestras, recorded albums from early childhood. He studied with elite teachers. He practiced hours and hours a day. Audiences all over the world were in awe of his grace and style and ability. And in 1973, at the peak of his career, he began to notice a stiffness in his fingers. And that stiffness got worse and began to creep into his hands. And after many tests, doctors gave him the devastating diagnosis. He had severe arthritis in both hands and wrist. And the prognosis was bleak. He would never get better, and his condition would continue to deteriorate. The arthritis did continue to spread, and it fused together the joints in 9 of his 10 fingers. But he made a decision that he would challenge the disease without revealing his disease to the public that he performed in front of and that he had made his career in front of. And so he spent long hours adapting his playing style to this new reality. He tried every type of medication possible. He went to endless hours of therapy and massage to keep minimum flexibility in his joints. And he played on for another 12 years, keeping the condition private, and no one ever knew. They would not learn of his condition until 1985, as he played at the White House concert. He would eventually have to have surgery, and he continued to play actively, raising funds for the Arthritis Foundation. He never retired, never quit playing. And the song went on, and as he said, I have arthritis, but it does not have me. The decision, the approach that he took toward facing every day made him a force to be reckoned with. Let me ask you a question. As you are moving through these days where each day we watch an update from Washington and then we watch local officials give us updates, giving us the rules of engagement for the day or the week, how are you facing that? Let me ask it a different way. Has the coronavirus captured you, or have you captured it? And so this has nothing to do with whether you've taken a test and whether that test has come back positive or negative. It's the decision that you've made of how you're going to face each day while we go through this season in our country. Are you a force to be reckoned with? Are you persevering and finding things that are inspiring others and doing things that show and reveal a faith that you are locked into with God, that he is carrying you no matter what? Or are you allowing it to get the best of you and you're starting to crack at the edges? See, as we face events each day with God, we begin to see the world differently. And here's what I know. Perseverance with God produces trust. And the deeper the trust goes, the better you persevere. The better you persevere, the deeper your trust grows. The deeper your trust grows, the better you persevere. And God sometimes doesn't move as fast as we want. Sometimes God takes his time because he knows what's best for you and he knows what's best for me, but he is determined to keep us trusting, following, and doing what we were created to do. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4 says this, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope." Let me say it another way. Perseverance produces transformation. And if you will stick with God and you will stay with it day in and day out, not only do you become a force to be reckoned with, but you begin to see your life as a life that is blessed and you begin to change from the inside out and you become better, a better version of you. And then that best version of you becomes a force to be reckoned with. But let me also show you the formula of embracing the grind. This is almost a Bible study within a Bible study. But the formula of embracing the grind, which is in verse 6, again, to persevere godliness. In other words, this perseverance brings about within us a godliness that happens. So how does that happen in your life? On the practical side, what is that formula like? What does it look like? Well, let me make some suggestions to you. And you can put this in a formula if you want. I'll just make them as suggestions. The first thing is simply this. Learn to put your problems in perspective. Learn to put your problems in perspective. Let me share with you a truth that you'll ponder later and go, you know, you're probably right about that. And it's simply this. Nothing is really big or small until you compare it to something else. Nothing is really big or small until you compare it to something else. So, as you're sitting in your home and you're enjoying hopefully air conditioning and you're being able to stream programs on every streaming network that's out there, the Church at 434 in Motion, you know, the biggies like that, Netflix, Disney Plus, you're watching Hulu, you know, you're already out of episodes of The Tiger King. You're trying your best to kind of hang in there, but you know, if you notice, this is a lot different than persevering through a hurricane. Because we still have power. Most of us are still sitting in air conditioning. We still have cable, internet. We're linked with Facebook. I mean, we are finding that, boy, we're suffering, but man, our suffering's not quite as bad as it's been other times. See, it all depends on what you compare it to. And so in your life, as you are trying to persevere and embrace the grind, remember that whatever it is you're facing, learn to find that perspective that you need and that lens that you need to look through to see that problem. Don't compare. See your problems, your situation, your circumstance as opportunities from a spiritual perspective. In other words, put that lens of faith on as you start looking at what it is that you're just trying to discover and tackle. And then that brings me to the second thing, tackle one thing. In other words, tackle things one step at a time. We all live hour by hour, we all live day by day, and we can't escape that, nor do we need to. But you can only do one thing at a time, and you can't do everything, but you can do something. And so don't get bogged down with trying to do everything or get overwhelmed by trying to do everything, but just do the one thing. And when you finish the one thing, go to the next thing, and then go to the next thing, and then to the next. And you'll be surprised at how much you can accomplish. And how when you get to the end of it, you've been able to persevere. Also, find people that are going to make you better. Find people in your world that you can listen to that are going to make you better. There are a lot of folks that pride themselves on the fact that they don't need anybody else, that they can make it on their own. But one of the things that people have discovered as we've dealt with the coronavirus is that if you stay too long by yourself, you start climbing the walls. And those safe spaces that we live in sometimes, those walls start closing in. And people are stressed and they're tired and they're untethered. And we all need people to encourage us. We need those sources that we can go to where we find folks that will make us better. Not people that are going to wallow with you or always agree with you, but those that will come alongside you and keep you moving forward and remind you of who it is that you were created to be like and what it is that you're called to do. Even in this season where we can't do as much as we might normally do, you still have to move forward. And then, this would not surprise you, but I'm going to share with you that you need to count your blessings along the way. This past week, a woman in Prescott, Arizona, dropped off an envelope filled with cash to a local pizza shop owner who is now paying it forward and sharing with his staff as local restaurants try to figure out how to survive in this coronavirus pandemic. Skylar Reeves owns a place called Rosa's Pizzeria, and he was loading orders for deliveries and curbside service when a woman approached him, handed him an envelope, and then left. Reeves opened up the envelope and discovered $2,000 in cash in there with an unsigned note. It simply said this: "Hi there. As a neighbor and lover of Rosa's, please accept this enclosed money and use it as you see fit for your wonderful staff." Reeves said as he looked at the envelope, at the note, and the money, he was overcome with emotion. As he already had been forced to consolidate his three restaurants into one, he had paused his catering company. He had stopped construction on his newest restaurant already to open up that was supposed to open up next month. He'd had to lay off nearly half of his staff. And most of them, he considered friends and family. He said as he looked at the note, the hair on his arm just stood up. And while the money came from an anonymous Good Samaritan, what he did then is he went to the employees that he still had and he asked them to bring him the bill that was troubling them the most, that they were most worried about, be it a mortgage payment, be it a car payment, be it something that's looming out there in front of them, and bring it to him, and he would figure out a way to cover it. And what he did is he took that $2,000 that he had been given and promised to use his own money, and he incorporated some friends that he had to start kicking in toward this fund that would allow him to at least maintain and keep those employees that he had and take care of those needs so they wouldn't have to stress. He said, "The people of this community that I live in are such a blessing. And it was such an amazing thing to do. I will remember it forever, and I will be faithful to bless others." You never have a season of life where you need to forget to count your blessings. And if you think about it, even what we're doing now, it's not the way we would like to script it. It's not the way we would like it. But it is what we do. I mean, and I got to tell you, this is the weirdest thing in the world. Because right now, I'm talking to you, and you're watching this, and you're either streaming it live or you're going to watch it later. And you've been listening to the band play, and you've been kind of singing along, hopefully singing along at home. That's why the words are on the screen. But even in emails this week, people are like, wondering, well, what does it look like in there? Well, the room is empty. I mean, we really are in an empty room. I mean, look, I mean, you guys are up there asleep, but wake up. And listen with me. But I mean, this is what the room looks like. I mean, there's normally people sitting here. I mean, there's people sitting here right over here. We've got a little monitor right now so we can cheat because we've got a camera that's right here on me right now. So we've kind of grabbed the second row for this, but we're back here. Look what's going on back here. We got Dan on the camera up here. He's 6 feet away from me, and he's fine. You know, you got Mark back there hiding behind the monitors. Markel's back here running PowerPoint. Chris is over here. He's not even talking to them this morning. He just said, "I don't have anything to do with them. He doesn't want to do anything with them." We got another camera over here, and the words on the screen. Look at this. This is a high tech solution. We are Winter Springs rednecks, people. We're using duct tape and cameras and two tables stacked up on top of each other so you can see what we're doing. Do we want to do it that way? No. What we want to happen is we want you to be in the building so that we can crack jokes, that we can laugh together, sing together, and see your faces. But we can't. But here's what we can do. We can do this. And we're providing program for you to watch. And we're trying to get to you and connect with you best we can. And you know what? We're grateful that we can do it that way. We're grateful we're not isolated. We're grateful that somehow, some way, it all comes together. And let me give you the last part of this formula because this is important. Refuse to lose. Refuse to lose. Is it possible? Is it possible to refuse to lose and refuse to quit? Of course it is. If you don't believe me, here's your challenge this week. Go and read the book of Hebrews. It's an entire book of the Bible that is dedicated to this idea that you have to refuse to lose. And so let me give you one more hint as how to do this. If you're feeling overwhelmed, just do this. Tell yourself that today is tough, but you're not going to quit. And make a promise to yourself that you'll quit tomorrow, but you won't quit today. And then tomorrow, make the same promise. Tell yourself that you'll quit tomorrow, but you won't quit today. And then the next day, do it again. And by the time you're done, what will happen is you'll never quit, and you will refuse to lose. That is that formula. It's the nitty-gritty stuff of life. It's not easy. Sometimes you get bogged down, but it is what you have to do as you persevere and discover the life that God has for you. And let me give you the third and last thing, and it's simply this. Let me give you the focus of embracing the grind. Verses 6 and 7, it says this, to preserve godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfaithful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is Palm Sunday, and Jesus enters Jerusalem on a day where the palms are dropped in front of him, and they celebrate him like they would the arrival of a king. You ever wonder what Jesus thought as he rode on that donkey into town, on that colt? I mean, the thoughts and the emotion that had to be going through his head, because he knew how that week was going to end. And yet he did it anyway. He didn't quit. Man, when you feel like quitting, look to the cross. Look to the empty tomb. Focus your eyes on Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says this. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. This past week, a man in Australia was handing out $100 in cash to each one of the hundreds of jobless workers waiting in line at the Centrelink office in Melbourne, Australia. Peter Darmo, 62 years old, handed out a total of $10,000 because he said he felt sick to his stomach after seeing the lines of people that were just desperate to put food on their table for their family. And each time he gave someone a $100 bill, the gratitude that they expressed back brought tears to his eyes even as he recalled it. He is a businessman who immigrated from Greece as a child and made it and made a fortune for himself. And he urged other folks who had been successful in business like he was to participate with him and help out those around him. He said, I came here as a six-year-old from a village in Greece, and this country's been good to me. There's a lot of people that we can find today, and just with a little, it will go a long way. He wasn't going to disclose his identity, but the press found out about it. They were trying to find a feel-good story they wanted to write about him, and so he finally shared who he was with the challenge for other folks who had been as successful as he was to do the same. He said, because there's no excuse. We're given what we have so that we can bless others. And when we bless others, we're blessed. His message was simple. You have what you have. God has given it to you. Don't be afraid to share it with others. The passage reminds us, don't give up. Keep trying. Keep trusting. And things will get better. This season that we're in, it won't last. Seems like it will. Seems like we'll never get through it. Seems like that it's never going to end. With each press conference, each announcement, it seems like in some ways we roll it further and further back, or there's some new rule or stipulation. Yet at the same time, we are able to keep pressing on simply because we have anchored our lives to Jesus Christ. And because of that anchor, we know that we have a future and we have hope. As we move into Easter week, that's what I want to share with you. Hold on to that hope. Your now what is simple. This is the week that we celebrate the greatest event in human history. It is what brings Christmas full circle. Christmas gives us hope. Easter makes us heroes, and we celebrate that this week. Spend each day of this week celebrating who Jesus is and what he has done, and for the hope that we've discovered as we live the heroic lives that we're called to, because we're blessed and because we'll persevere. Would you bow your heads and hearts with me as we pray? Lord, you are faithful. Not just once, not just twice, but over and over again. In our lives, you bless us over and over again. And you give us the gift of a day. And sometimes we take it for granted because you give it to us today. And most will get it tomorrow and the next day. And Lord, we're called to be faithful. My prayer for each person this day is that we would be faithful to live the life that we were created to live. And that we would discover in you a joy that can only come when we follow you. These days aren't always easy. We have to embrace the grind. And as we embrace that grind, we begin to discover that you're doing something in the midst of all of that. And Heavenly Father, we make the most amazing discovery of all, that things don't necessarily get easier. We just get better at facing them. We get better at handling them. We get better at moving past them. Not because they're easy, but because we've embraced the grind and we stay with it. Lord, there's some who are trying to face this season, this scary season, all by themselves. And so when we talk about faith in Jesus and we talk about Easter, there is something that they haven't done that they need to do. They need to make the decision to believe, trust, and follow you. And Lord, if they've never made that decision, I would pray that this would be the day that they would simply reach out to us through whatever platform they're watching on, connect with us electronically, and share, "I want to make that decision to accept Jesus," and give us an opportunity, even this week, to contact them and talk to them about the decision they've made and how they can make it, what needs to happen next. Lord, there are others who we are holding on to you, and we're holding on and white-knuckling this journey that we're on, and we need to be reminded of the things that this passage teaches us. And we need to learn to embrace the grind just a little bit better. Let today be that day that we learn it. Allow the lessons of this verse, of these passages, jump off that page and become very real to us and remind us of who it is that we are created to be and what you've called us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The beauty to think of who you are is overwhelming. The promises you make, they will uphold me. How you hold me, your compassions never end. Your mercies are new over and over. Your mercies are new over and over. As surely as the morning comes, you're faithful. I'll sing of your love over and over. Over and over I'll see, with every setting sun, you're faithful, never failing. Every time I fall, you're there to catch me. And when I your kindness chases me. How you chase me. Your compassions never end. Your mercies are new over and over. Your mercies are new over and over. As sure the morning comes, you're faithful.
He is indeed faithful, and we celebrate that on this Palm Sunday. Thanks for watching with us, and thanks for streaming live. As I said earlier, a couple announcements that you need to know about this week that is coming up, because it is Easter week. First one is simply this. If you're with us and you're connected with us through 434 in Motion, you will want to be watching tonight for the premiere of a show at 6 o'clock called Live from Area 51 with the Masked Saint. We are going to be sitting down and talking with Chris Whaley. It is a WrestleMania weekend, and so we're going to actually take a look at some clips from that film, and we're going to have an amazing discussion with Chris about his life, the book, and the movie, and so you'll want to join us tonight at 6 o'clock for that. Then, next Sunday morning, things change a little bit. Next weekend, things change a little bit. On Saturday at 9 o'clock, from 9 to 11, we are going to have a drive-through Easter egg hunt. We've been describing it to people as Lion Country Safari without the animals. It is a moment where you're going to be able to come. As you get here, we're going to give to you what is a scavenger hunt sheet, and then you will be actually driving around on our property. We'll have it marked out for you, and you'll be trying to spot these Easter eggs and their oversized eggs that will be hidden, and we'll see how many you can find. As you make your journey all the way through, you'll leave, you'll exit, we'll give you a goodie bag, and you'll be on your way. You never have to get out of your car. We're not going to let you get out of your car. The bathrooms won't be open. Take care of that before you get here. But you are going to be rolling through our property on an Easter egg hunt that is like an egg hunt we've never done before. And so we ask that you would join us. We have actually been in conversations with the Florida Baptist Convention about this. It's worked with the governor's office on this, no kidding, making sure that this is an event we can do. We've worked with our local municipalities on this, making sure that this is in compliance. They assure us that it is. And so we're going to do our best. And if you feel comfortable, we're going to keep you safe. You're going to stay in your car the whole time, but you get to go on an Easter egg hunt. And so join us at 9 o'clock next Saturday morning. Then, on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, come back. Join us again. Again, we're going to keep you in your cars. But we look forward to seeing you in your car here as we do drive-in church. And we're going to do celebration worship drive-in style on Easter Sunday morning. You'll pull into our parking lot. We'll help you get situated. We'll help you park. And then we will actually do celebration worship in the parking lot as you sit in your cars. And we've got some things that we'll do that will be kind of fun and a little bit odd because, well, we've never done it that way before, and so we're going to try and see what that looks like. Thanks for your faithfulness. As we tell you each week, if you want to give, it's easy to do. Find that giving spot in the middle of our lead page of our website, touchandchange.net. It says donate. Please do that through this time where we're trying to kind of keep doing some things and keep things moving forward. We need you to be faithful and generous in doing that, and we look forward to joining you next week and maybe even seeing some of you in person here at the church at 434. Until then, stay safe. Keep persevering. May God bless you. Bye-bye.